today's message is believing God in times of trouble. Believing God in times of trouble. And we talked about different people in the Old and New Testament going through difficult times and trusting God and believing in Him, believing in Jesus Christ in the New Testament and pressing on and getting through those things. We're going to continue on today looking through those. You know, Paul had to struggle through the thorn in his flesh. Hey God, can you remove this thing? No, I need you to hang on to that thorn in your flesh. Anybody feel like they have a thorn in their flesh right now going through things? God, why are you making me leave this in my flesh? Can't you remove this thorn from me? Well, the Bible tells us how we can do these things and how we can get through it. You know, my wife texted me last week, or this past Friday, and texted me a little something, a book she's reading, and it said, pain is mandatory, but suffering is optional. That means we're going to go through stuff, but the suffering is optional. And I shared with our Ground Zero group Wednesday night about this professor, and he had a glass of water. And he said, how much do you think is in here? Oh, 8 ounces, 12 ounces, 16, 18. He said, it really doesn't matter. He said, the weight of this glass and the weight of the water inside doesn't change. But the longer I hold this, the more difficult it becomes. I can do it for 10, 15 minutes, but after a while, what happens? You start sloshing water everywhere. Your hand gets a little shaky, your arm, you know, starts going down. You try and lift it back up, you try and support it. But do this for hours. And do this for a day. And all of a sudden, your arm is stuck. Well, your arm is going down. You're not going to be able to do it. And he said, every now and then, you have to set that down. And that's the stress in your life. That's the suffering sometimes that we go through. We hang on to it. I want to make sure you know you cause me pain. And I want to hang on to the suffering so you can see me suffer, so you can know how much it hurt. Set it down. It's going to make your arm sore. It's going to make your muscles cramp. Said this before, you know, when you were little, I said, take two fingers and hold it as tight as you can for 2 minutes and pull your hand out. Now try and open your hand. Like, I can't. They're stuck. It's the same way. And we get stuck when we hang on to that glass of suffering, that glass of stress. He says, set it down. Let me take that from you. You don't need to carry that. And if I need you to carry it, it'll be for a short time so that my strength shines through. When I tell you to set it down, he says, set it down. You don't need to suffer any longer. He does tell us we'll suffer for his name's sake. But when he tells us to put it down, it's time to do it. Jesus met people in their pain in the New Testament. He met people in their pain. And at times he met them in their suffering from their pain. And the question he kept asking was simply, do you believe? Do you believe? You know, last week I had a wonderful lunch with my family. Came back to the church, got our various cars, went home. Came inside real quick to grab some papers out of my bag. As I got back in the car, I pulled out and there was a young lady walking just across the street and down across from the car wash. She had three bags with her. And I thought, that doesn't look like a good situation. Hope you get better. And I pulled over. I said, no, I can't pass her up. And I rolled down the window, and as she ran to me, she said, I'm 35, I'm pregnant, I've just been put out, can you give me a ride? Hollering this as she's running to the car. I said, yeah, get in. Then I thought, wait a minute, where's she going? St. Louis? I don't know. I said, where are you going? She said, as close to Oklahoma City as I can get. I said, well, I can take you wherever you need to go in Oklahoma City. She said, oh my God, I'm pregnant. I just got in a fight with my boyfriend. He put me out on 240 and Anderson Road. And this is what I have. She said, you must be an angel. I said, no. However, I'm the pastor of that church right there on the hill. She said, I know God sent you to me. And immediately, she did something I couldn't do without stumbling through it. She quoted Psalm 23, word for word. She said, before you let me out, I want to pray with you and I want to hold hands with you and pray. She said, I know the word says where two or more are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst of you. And she starts rattling off these scriptures. Make no mistake about it, I could tell she was in a mess. And she was talking 90 to nothing, and she'd been to jail many times, had many children. And she said, yeah, I ain't going to lie to you. You're a pastor. I said, well, what does that matter? Shouldn't lie anyway, whether I'm a pastor or not. But I appreciate you saying that. But I said, just don't lie. You know, go and sin no more. And she said, I believe in God. I said, do you know God is your personal Lord and Savior? Are you confident you're going to heaven? She said, absolutely. How do you know that? My grandmother taught me these scriptures when I was a little girl. My life was a mess, but my grandmother made sure I went to church. And she taught me these things. She said, I know I'm going to heaven. I accepted Christ, but I've made some bad choices. I said, well, you and a bunch of people around you and a bunch of people in the Bible, yeah, I hear you. She said, I've done drugs. I did this. I did that. She said, my bail bondsman said, don't run from me again. I said, don't do it. A guy that looks like me may show up knocking on your door. My brother is a bounty hunter, so he may show up. Don't do him any harm if he does, okay? But she said, I've made a mess of my life. I said, well, you have the opportunity to make it better. You're in a rough situation right now. She knew Scripture. She knew God. She still sinned. But she still had the foresight to say, I want to pray. She said, you can drop me off here. I'm going to the apartments right back there. And she said, can I have your number? I played it a little safe. I said, here's the church number. Call in case you get a weird message, Eric. And her name is Stacy. She said, would you ask your church to pray for me? So church, man, can we pray for Stacy before we get started? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, whatever caused her to be on that street and me to be driving past, I thank you for that encounter ordained by you. I believe that encounter was ordained by you. Lord, I pray in that short drive to her destination that you were revealed to her once again and she was drawn close to you once again. Lord, I pray that at the thought of doing or making bad decisions or doing wrong things, that she's reminded of that encounter. She's reminded of our prayer for her desire to have a better life and be a better person. Lord, we lift her up today. Lord, I ask you to protect her from the evils, from the enemy, from the constant knocking on the door of Stacy. Lord, that you would protect her from the enemy. That you would lift her up and you would show her your light and your love through her current situation. I ask these things in your son's name. Amen. When I dropped her off, she said, I want to hold your hands and pray. I said, okay. And she said, I want to pray. I said, you go for it. You know what you desire. You know what you want. You go for it. And she prayed. It's a current day situation of people in bad times. But again, she knew God. She knew Scripture. She knew she was going to heaven. I said, you're confident your name is in the book of life? She said, yes. I said, well, I'm going to tell you the same thing Jesus told the young lady at the well. Go and sin no more. And I said, I'm going to ask you every time you have an encounter to make a bad decision, that you remember this time and you remember this prayer. The Bible is full of stories like this. People in struggles, maybe knowing God and then making mistakes, making decisions that weren't good. Last week in the story of Lazarus, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he asked the sisters, when they thought, Jesus, had you been here, he wouldn't have died. And he asked the sisters, Mary and Martha, do you believe? Oops, let me get to the right spot there. Do you believe? She said, I believe. Turn to John chapter 9. That's where we'll be today. We're going to ask today, do you believe as we go through things? In our current situation, do we believe? Now make no mistake about it. When we believe, God wants and desires for us to have a closer relationship with Him. And He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to have the aroma of Christ. To be His ambassador, His representative. You know, there's some things happening to my work and some changes come down the pike. And one person told me, they said, I don't want to change and move out of this area because I like you being my boss. I said, well, so-and-so is a good boss. And I said, but you're different. See, you hold me to a higher standard. And I want and desire to be a better person because of you. I've made better choices in my life because of you. A young man, we had a Thanksgiving meal at work on Friday. And he came and sat down and said, can I sit here? I said, absolutely. I introduced him to the other guys. He's a fairly new employee that works in our warehouse. And you'll understand why I'm telling the story in just a minute here. And he ate and we laughed and had a good time. He said, hey, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, sure. As I'm shoveling food in my mouth. He says, out here in the hallway? I said, yeah, wait a minute. Finished my food and then went out there and said, hey, come on, let's go talk. What's happening? He said, ever since I started working here, you've always walked up to me. You introduced yourself, said, hey, you're new. Who are you? Here's who I am. He said, you introduced yourself. And throughout the day, you come through and you use my name and say, hey, so-and-so, how are you? So-and-so, have a good day. I'll see you later. I'm heading out. He said, you always, throughout the day, he said, and not just me, you do that with everybody. I said, that's right. He said, there's something about you and I can't figure it out. But he said, I felt that I could talk to you about some things I'm going through. And I said, well, I don't know what you're getting ready to tell me, but I feel I better warn you, I'm a pastor. He said, I knew there was something about you. And I thought, that isn't to pat myself on the back. It's to say, this is who Christ wants us to be. He wants us to be His representative so that people are drawn to Him through us. He wants us to have the aroma of Christ so people say, oh my gosh, you don't have the stench of sin. You have the aroma of Christ and I'm drawn to you. And I feel safe talking to you. And this big, burly, bearded guy, by the time we were done, was weeping, saying, I knew I could talk to you. He said, I appreciate what you've shared with me, and I appreciate you allowing me to share. John chapter 9, similar to last week, don't shoot me. We're reading the whole thing, church. But it's worthy of being read. It's worthy of being gone through. John chapter 9, verse 1. Lord, I almost skipped an important part. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it. Whew, we got to get this party started right. Let's do it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice in. That was worse than the first time. Oh my goodness. I was hoping to get some excitement. That's okay. I'm excited about this. John chapter 9 verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Church, don't ever ask that question of somebody. There's people still out there saying that people are sick because of this. People have certain things because of this. Don't ask people that question. Jesus answered the same way you should answer. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Blind man from birth. They're asking, hey, who sinned, him or his parents, that he's blind? Neither. It's the works of God. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva. Ground it in there, put it on the man's eyes. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he told him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. When God tells us to do something, be obedient to do it. He said, go wash. He came back and he received his sight. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some of them said, this is he. But others said, he is like him. He's not quite him, but he is like him. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay. And he anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool at Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And he responded and answered, I don't know. When we see or hear about miracles in our life, we're like this. Some believed, and some said, nah, it's kind of like the works of God, but I doubt it. It looks like it, but I don't know. It appears to be like him, but it's not him. Do we believe or do we not? Some said, it is he, and they believed, and others didn't. Verse 13, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now, it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And I think, by the way, I think Jesus did that intentionally. Hey, it's a Sabbath. I'm going to heal him on the Sabbath. Then the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. You see, they knew him. And they asked, how did you receive your sight? And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe. Imagine that. They did not believe concerning him that he had been blind or that he received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? But his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. And they responded and said, he is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. For his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. Again, some believed and some didn't. Verse 16. This man is of God, is not of God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. And then further down there, right below that, it says, and there was division among them. Some believed, some didn't. There's division. That means some did believe, though. Verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. Some didn't believe he was blind. Some didn't believe that Jesus made him see. Some knew that he was blind. Some believed that he was blind. And some believed that Jesus healed him. But they had to be careful as well, stating that they believed. But it did cause division among them. I thought, my goodness, Jesus, the Savior, standing there, the one who they waited for, and they don't see him. They don't see him for who and what he is. Now, verse 24 says, "So they called the man who was blind and said to him, 'Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner.'" Now, listen carefully. "He answered and said, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know.'" He didn't care because he saw. "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." "We know this man is a sinner," they told him. He said, "I don't know if he was or wasn't. And I don't really care to the man who healed me." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He said, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Boy, I bet that was a beauty. "Are you asking me because you're concerned? You're interested in following Jesus? Do you want to become one of his disciples?" I'm sure that infuriated them. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. Since the world began," listen carefully, "since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who is born blind." Nothing in the Old Testament was recorded about this. "If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us?" And they cast him out. The man didn't care. He didn't know if Jesus was a sinner or not. He did not, said, "You guys did not hear me when I told you what happened. They told me you were completely born in sins, and they put him out." Let me ask you, church, where do sinners go if not in church? Where do they go to be healed? They said you were born completely in sin, and they cast them out. Now verse 35 says this. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And I love these stories. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And the blind man who was healed, he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." He's revealing to the young man about this Jesus. Young man, "Man, I'd like to see him. Who is this guy?" "You've now seen him, and it is I who is talking to you." Then he said in verse 38, he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and they said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." He just simply asked, "Do you believe? Do you believe?" The blind man knows that a man walked up to him, spit on the ground, rubbed the spit in the dirt, made clay out of it, applied it to his eyes, told him what to do. The blind man had faith, was obedient, did what he told him to do, and could now see. Notice Jesus didn't go with him to have him wash in the pool of Siloam. He just said, go and do it. And then he went away. The Pharisees asked, where is this Jesus? He said, I do not know. But when Jesus heard that they had cast him out, Jesus found him. And he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord? I want to believe in him. Who is he? Because he hadn't seen him yet. And he hadn't met him face to face where he could see him. Jesus simply revealed himself to him. Time for the second round, the Brown Bible. We don't have this in the same language, but it's a little easier to understand sometimes in this. Romans 3, 21 through 26. Hang on, I wrote another scripture somewhere and I skipped over it. Doggone these notes, right? Oh no, there it is. I hadn't got to it yet, sorry. Romans 3, 21 through 26. And this is from the New Living Translation. It said, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Praise God. I think we sang a song about that. He said, man, He has a place for us. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just, and He declares sinners to be right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. I took a little trip down the hall to the children's classroom earlier today. And I was just walking through the halls praying. Nobody was here early this morning. And I looked in there and I saw little cutouts of bread, pieces of bread. And I thought, oh, I'm going to write this little note on here because I love what it said in John 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus is constantly asking, do you believe? He asked the sister of Lazarus, do you believe? He asked the centurion guard when his son was sick. He said, do you believe? He said, I believe. Now he went a step further and said, help my unbelief. When we're going through things, we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to believe that God still sits on the throne. We have to believe that God knows what we're going through and He's there with us. You may say, how can that be a compassionate and loving God if He allowed these things to happen in my life? I mean, Paul was asking that with the thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh is necessary to glorify God, not you. Ah, Look, I removed the thorn from my own flesh. Look at me. Woohoo! No, he said, suffer with that thing. Because I will be made strong in your weakness. It will glorify me. His grace is sufficient for you, for his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Do you believe? If you want the rainbow, you have to tolerate the rain. If you want the rainbow, you have to tolerate the rain. We have to go through things to get to the glorious side sometimes. Guess what? To spend eternity in heaven, guess what we have to go through? Death. Oh, that's such a hard thing here on earth for us to face. But to get to the glorious end result of eternity with the Father, we must go through death. Jesus asked, let me get there, or Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He asked. His grace is sufficient for you. You must have the thorn in your flesh. I'm sorry. It's to glorify God so that he can be made perfect in your weakness. Do you believe? His grace is sufficient. Do you believe? Do you have blindness? Or did you have blindness and now you have sight? Was there an area of your life that you were blind to? Were you lost at some point in your life and now you are found? Jesus simply asked, do you believe? Church today, do you believe? Let's serve him. Let's live for him. And let's believe in him in our times of trouble. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your scriptures today. We thank you for the loving kindness . You know the price Jesus paid on the cross for us while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinning. You know, the word says that the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, the continual process of us being perfected in Christ, it is life. And Jesus, when he came face to face with people having issues, he simply asked them, do you believe? He gave them direction. Follow me. Drop your nets and follow me. Go and sin no more. Multiple times he told people, go and wash. And he asked them, do you believe? Let's be a believing church today. Lord, thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.